Okay, let's go. I know today's topic, it's a topic with a lot of opinions and lots of comes and goes and so on. So my objective today is to actually show you, this is the structure what we're going to learn, is actually show you sources. That's all I'm going to do. Of course, every single time a person talks, expresses his, her, whatever personal opinion, we can't save ourselves from that, because since we're talking, we're expressing ourselves, and that's our personal opinion. But my objective is to show you sources about what is Shabbos. This is the structure of, again, what we're going to learn. What is, if there is, whatever, any covenant between God and non-Jews, Bnei Noach, how God expressed this commandment of Shabbos, Shabbat, whatever you want to call it, and what's the way to understand what a non-Jew can or cannot do in Shabbos according to the Jewish law, the way I humbly understand it. Before starting, today we're going to see lots of texts. I'm not going to read every single piece of text. I expect you, if you're listening to this class, it's because you know English, at least better than me. So whatever, I'm expecting you to read. We're going to read a few parts together and just a piece of warning. Our sages explain, and this is actually mentioned in the Torah itself, it's just an explanation that our sages give, what is the kind of death penalty for Jews not respecting the Shabbos, whatever that means. I'm not going to explain that. Today, that death penalty doesn't apply for Jews. That's what I mean, for Jews. Doesn't apply. Why? We don't have a temple. We don't have a great court called Sanhedrin and so on. The same thing happens exactly for non-Jews. When our sages explain that the punishment for doing certain things, let's say stealing, let's say murder and so on, for non-Jews, the punishment is the death penalty, the truth is it does not apply today. There are no rabbis running to kill whatever, whomever killed somebody else or whomever stole from somebody else. There's no such a thing. I'm just going to express this the way it's written because I want to show sources and explain those sources. But that doesn't mean that something that the Torah says, death penalty, actually applies. Furthermore, there's a thing called spiritual death penalty, Misa B'yedei Shamayim. Literal translation would be a death by heaven, heavenly death, whatever. In the times of the temple, this is greatly explained in the third part of Tanya. Igeret HaTshuva is called the letter of repentance or whatever. In the times of the temple, a person with death penalty, spiritual death penalty, would pass away at the age of 60 at most. But today, that doesn't apply. Not even the spiritual part applies. So what are we talking about it? Because the fact of knowing a punishment gives you an idea of how important certain things, certain activity is. If the punishment would be, everybody's going to applaud, yeah, so it doesn't look like a bad thing. Let's go do it. Why not? So we get an applause. No, the punishment is death penalty. Oops. But it doesn't apply. Yeah, it does not apply. You're right. But it shows you how great is the thing is. So, okay, let's go without more introductions. First of all, when is the Torah? When I say Torah, the word Torah means the Bible, so to speak. I don't like the word Bible, but whatever. The Torah says in the beginning, right in the beginning, talks about Shabbat. But if you pay attention, at no point, here's the source, Bereishis 2, 1, 3, Genesis, whatever you want to call it. Here are the simple translation of the verses. At no point the Torah talks about any activity, anything you have to do or you don't have to do. It just says, look, the seventh day, God rested, whatever that means, which is in a question in itself. What does it mean that God rested? Was he tired? He wasn't tired, but whatever. Whatever that means, we're not going to touch upon that, just raising questions, whatever, things to think about. God does not talk about what to do in that day. In other words, in the relate of the creation, when the Torah talks about the creation, it is not giving instructions. The word Torah in Hebrew comes from the word hoira'a. Hoira'a means lessons, instructions. Actually, the word more, which means a teacher, a man teacher, mora, a woman teacher, and so on, it's directly related to the same source, the same root of letters, words, Torah, mora, more, and so on. Hoira'a, which means, again, lessons. So the Torah, after all, is a book of lessons. It's not just a book of stories. Oh, Avram traveled this way and that way, and Yaakov, he was a good guy, and he got married. No, 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 no. That's not the only thing there is in Torah. The main thing of Torah is, besides the stories, of course, that they have lessons and teachings and so on, the main thing is the teachings, the lessons. So over here, instructions. Over here, in the Torah, talking about Shabbos, the first time it appears, it does not give any instructions at all. Nothing. Just says, God rested, whatever that means. Okay, so let's move on. Then, if you go, like chronologically speaking, you move on in the Torah itself, in the stories and so on that the Torah talks about, you have the flood. And I'm not going to describe the flood. This is not the purpose of this class. Go read the flood, Parshas Noach. You can do that. You don't need me for that. But the point is that after the flood, God made a covenant with humanity, which humanity in those times were actually Noach, his children, and their wives. That was all humanity. But God was, so to speak, talking to Noach, of course, through prophecy and so on. But there was a conversation over there, and God made a promise, made a covenant. And this I'm going to read on purpose. So long as the earth endures, like forever, there's going to be a covenant. Seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, day, night shall not cease. What is this talking about? Very simple explanation. It's talking about the seasons. You know, time is never going to cease. This, the flood, is never going to happen again. Don't worry, says God. I'm fine, you're fine. And actually, interestingly, it means there's not going to be a flood in the whole earth all at once. But in specific, particular parts of the earth, yes, there's going to be floods, so to speak, which is a mistake that the Egyptians made. I'm not going to go through the whole story, and we can see tsunamis, like a new word, whatever, everybody knows what this word is in Japanese or whatever it is, I don't know. But there are kinds of floods, quote unquote. Okay, this is the covenant, there's not going to be a flood resetting, so to speak, whole humanity again. Okay, that's what the verse is saying. Seasons are going to come one after the other, endless. However, our sages explain this in a very different way. And this is what the Talmud says. The source is Sanhedrin 58b. Reish Lakish says, a Gentile who observes Shabbos is liable to receive death penalty. This death penalty, it is talking about the spiritual death penalty. That it doesn't matter whether it applies or not. It's talking about, even in the times where it applied, spiritual death penalty, as it says. What's the proof Reish Lakish brings? And day and night shall not cease. Now, wait a second. If you're telling me that the seasons are not going to finish and there's going to be a summer, a winter, and so on, how do you prove from there that non-Jews cannot keep Shabbos? What's the relationship? So Reish Lakish and the Talmud and the Rambam does the same, like every single Jewish authority says exactly the same thing based on what Reish Lakish brings from the Talmud, in the Talmud, I'm sorry, that when it says day and night shall not cease, it's not talking about day and night. No. Like, as if we would add a day in the middle. So let's read the verse again. Seed time, harvest, cold, hot, heat, summer, winter, day and night, they shall not cease to work. Who are they? Non-Jews. How do you know that? Because God is making a covenant with people. With whom? With Noach. He was humanity. He was talking to him, as we mentioned before. So he made a covenant with him. What's the covenant? You shall not cease working, you and your descendants, of course. This is the source of the phrase in the Talmud that a non-Jew, a Gentile, we're going to touch upon the word Gentile later and in different classes. I'm not going to go deep into it, but just to mention it later, shall not cease working. Yeah. Does that mean that a non-Jew cannot rest? Like, I want to go to sleep. I'm tired. Okay. You have opinions? If you ask Rashi, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, friends, year 1000, he's going to say, yeah, they're forbidden to rest. But wait a second, I need to sleep because I'm a human being. Okay, if you're really tired, go sleep. But you know what? Resting? There's no such a thing for a non-Jew. That's what Rashi is going to say. All their authorities, and the Rambam agrees with all their authorities, and that's the law. Yeah, of course you can go rest. Don't worry. You're tired, go to sleep, do whatever you want. You cannot have a religious resting in the day of Shabbos or any other day of the week, resting because of a religious, I stress this word so much, because of a religious purpose. Because God created the world. No. You're tired, go sleep. You want to sleep the whole day? Okay, whatever. It's your life. You decide. It's your path in life. But don't mix God into your resting. You're resting because you want to rest. Okay. That's what the Talmud brings, actually. Now, interestingly, the Meiri, a friend's commentator, brings an interesting idea. I'm just sharing this. Why? Now, when the Torah brings a mitzvah, a commandment, or whatever, an instruction, the Torah doesn't say why. The Torah just brings a commandment. That's it. Why? God knows why. I don't know why. Unless he says, this is the why. Okay, so we understand. But in the meantime, it's because the Torah says so. God said so. That's it. Same thing happens with the phrases in the Talmud, like the Reish Lakish phrase, that a non-Jew who is observing Shabbat is liable and so on. Does he say why? No, Reish Lakish didn't say why. He just brought a verse and his interpretation of the verse, but that's it. Nothing more than that. So Meiri bringing a why is the way he understood things, which he was a holy rabbi and so on. I'm not criticizing anything. On the contrary, I'm bringing him to try to explain something, but what I'm trying to say is, this is the way Meiri thinks. Does it have holiness? Yes. Is the only way of thinking? No. Meiri says in his commentaries that why cannot a non-Jew keep Shabbos, observe Shabbos? Because it looks like he is one of a Jew. He looks like a Jew, and other people are going to learn with him. And we still actually this I'm adding to his words. He doesn't say this. This is all he says. I just copied. He writes in Hebrew, whatever. I just laid it. But the point is that people might get confused, and maybe other observances that he does, not for Shabbat, for other things, are not correct, or he's not obligated, for instance, to eat kosher. So he's keeping Shabbos. People look at him and say, hey, this is a Jew. He keeps Shabbos. But what is he eating? He's eating pork. Can a Jew eat pork? No, the truth is the Torah says no. Actually, the parsha of this week says no, you cannot eat pork. But this guy keeps Shabbos and eats pork. So maybe a Jew can eat pork, and they end up eating pork or doing other things, idolatry and so on. So the Meiri comes up and says, the reason we don't allow a non-Jew keeping Shabbos is because he looks like a Jew. And that's not correct. People are going to learn from him. But this is how the Meiri thinks about it. Now, even in the times of the temple, will the Jews do anything if they see a non-Jew keeping Shabbos? The answer is no. Hey, but it says death penalty. Yes, I made it clear before. It's a spiritual death penalty. After all, and this applies to anything in Torah, not just Shabbos, after all, we believe in God. And God applies justice the way he understands it. It doesn't depend on us to determine what justice has to be, and so on. So we believe in divine justice. After all, whatever happened, whether the rabbis applied a punishment or did not apply a punishment, and the Torah says, and this guy did his purpose and nobody's saying anything. Wait a second. There's a God. There's a God. He's going to take care of him. Don't worry. Whichever way God determines, he has to take care of this guy. So we can just leave things in the hands of God. Things are in good hands, so to speak. Okay. Now, continuing with the covenant God made with Noach. We explained about Shabbos, how the Talmud learns non-Jews cannot keep Shabbos, and the covenant continues. I now establish and so on. I'm not going to read the whole thing. And I'm making, says God, I'm making a covenant with every single human being, like the father of all humanity, including Jews also, of course. I will maintain my covenant with you. What's the covenant? Never again shall all flesh be cut off, and so on. Now, if you look at the words of the Torah itself, it does talk about certain laws. You shall not murder, and it says such things. But the covenant itself is not about the laws. Like, if you keep my laws, I will be good with you. I will give you reward, or whatever. It doesn't say that. No. Or if you don't keep my laws, I will punish you. No, it doesn't say that. When the Torah is talking about a covenant, what is it talking about? Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood and blah, blah, blah. That's all. That's the covenant. And then people talk about the rainbow. I'm not going to go talk about the rainbow. Ramban Nachmanides has a whole interesting, I invite you to read it, explanation of the rainbow. The rainbow is just a rainbow. That's all it is. And you know, the sun, the light of the sun, when it hits the drops of water and then decomposes into colors, that's the rainbow. And that was the rainbow before the flood also. Rainbow did not appear in the flood because of a covenant. No. God, for whatever reason, as God, chose the rainbow as the sign of the covenant. Whatever, he likes the rainbow or whatever, he just chose that. That's what it means. That's all it means. Nothing more. Nothing more than that. Okay, so having understanding this, the covenant of God with humanity is, I'm not going to destroy you again, like I did before, because he actually did it. I'm not going to do that anymore. All flesh. Part of the flesh? Yes. There are people suffering in the world? Yes. There are people being flooded in the world? Yes. And we have this whole problem right now with Spain and people dying in the sea and so on. Is it happening? Yes. Is it God? Yes. I don't understand why. Poor people. But is God doing that? Yes. He's not letting this happen. There's no such a thing in Judaism. God doesn't let things happen. He does it. Whether I like it or not, that's my problem, not God's problem. Whether I understand it or not, I agree, so to speak, to that or not, that's my problem, not God's problem. But are people being flooded, quote-unquote, today? Yes, that's happening. Because God promised he would not destroy all flesh, everybody. That's the covenant. Does it include laws? No. Not at all. Okay, let's move on. We explained when Shabbos actually appeared in the Torah the first time. There's a second time, quote-unquote, it doesn't say clearly, there's a second time Shabbos appears in the Torah before the Ten Commandments. What's the second time? Mara. Mara is the name of a place which actually means bitter. Mar means a bitter, bitter thing. And the Jewish people went out of Egypt before the giving of the Torah, and they were in this place. There was no sweet water to drink. It was a whole problem over there. I'm not going to read all the sources. And the point is that God showed Moshe Rabbeinu a way to sweeten the water. Okay. And then the Torah says, Sham, there, Sam loy choyku mishpat, these two words, rule and justice, Vesham nisau, and they were put to test. That's what the Torah says. What does it mean? Choyku mishpat. What kind of laws did God share at Mara? What does that mean? The written Torah doesn't say. But our sages explain, here's the source, Mechilta, Sanhedrin, Rashi says this actually. At Mara, God gave the Jews a few sections of the Torah in order that they might engage in the study. Which sections? He gave Shabbat, red heifer, justice. Actually, our sages also say respecting father and mother. That was given at Mara before the giving of the Torah. And then repeated at the giving of the Torah. But this is what was given actually in Mara. Does it mean that the Shabbos to be kept was given to humanity before the giving of the Torah? No, it doesn't mean that. Why? It was given before the giving of the Torah, yes, but it was not given to humanity. Just as God did not give the whole, all the laws of the red heifer, whatever that means, I'm not going to explain, in ritual impurity and deaf people, whatever, I'm not going to explain that. But just as God did not give the red heifer to every single human being in the face of the earth, all the things, the package of things that God gave the Jewish people to start learning, come on guys, start learning. That's why the verse says they were put to test. Let's see if you're going to actually learn what I'm giving you. So God gave a few groups of laws to see how the people would manage with it. One of those was Shabbos, correct. But just as Shabbos was given at that time, red heifer and justice and all kinds of things were given over there at that time before the giving of the Torah to be learned. To be learned. So God could check how people would learn. This does not mean, as some people want to say, that Shabbos was given to humanity before the giving of the Torah. Wrong. I'm sorry, it's an incorrect reading. So why don't you talk about the red heifer also? And if you're going to say that non-Jews can also do a red heifer, I'm sorry, but it's just hilarious. It doesn't make any sense at all. There's not one source in the whole Torah, and I don't know everything, but I can bet there's not one source in the whole Torah that says that the laws of red heifer apply to non-Jews. No. So why do you take one law, Shabbos, because you like it or whatever, and just hide the rest? Wait a second. If you're going to be clear, be honest. And talk about the whole package. This is what was given. Rashi says it. I mean, it's common knowledge. It's public knowledge. You don't depend on me for that. You can find it in anywhere. So, okay, this is about Mara. Then comes the commandments. The Parshas Yisroi, God gives 10 commandments, and it's important to understand. And this, the misunderstand comes because Christianity took the 10 commandments, and they actually changed a few things because they don't keep Shabbos, but whatever. There are some Christians that do keep Shabbos. I'm not going to talk about that either. But the point is that Christianity took the 10 commandments and made like a whole thing about out of it. This is the message for humanity and so on. But you know what? Judaism does not agree to that. You don't have to agree with me either. No problem. I'm just sharing what Judaism says. Judaism does not agree to that. 10 commandments were given only to Jews. How do you know? Because the Jewish people were standing at the base of Mount Sinai, 600,000 men between 20 and 60 years, around 4 million people, certainly maybe even more, all hearing God, all receiving the Torah and so on, with all the Ten Commandments and so on, which I'm not going to explain the Ten Commandments, but let's talk about Shabbos. How does God express this commandment of Shabbos? Pay attention. This is the first time in the Torah that actually Shabbos appears written as a commandment. You shall do this or not, or don't do that and so on. Remember the day of Shabbos and so on. 6 days will work, but the seventh day is a Shabbos. What does that mean? What does it mean Shabbos to God? So God explains, you shall not do any work. What does it mean to work? I don't know. You, your son, blah, 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 or the stranger, it says, gerecho, that's the word in Hebrew, your stranger, who is within your settlements. He doesn't have to work. Who is the stranger? I don't know. Is it you? No, because it says, you, your son, daughter, male, female, slaves. Also, the stranger is not a slave. Your cattle. Okay, a cow or the stranger. Who is this guy? The Torah doesn't say so clearly. And then he says, why do people have to keep Shabbos? So God says, because I rested on the seventh day of creation. Remember, Bereshit? Yeah, okay. So people have to rest. So point number one, I put it in green. Point number one is, this was given just for Jews. It's a message for Jews. Point number two, there are two things we don't understand. Because the Torah doesn't say, what does it mean not to do any work? I don't know. Who is a stranger? We don't know either. So let's move on. Oh, I'm sorry, the other way around. Let's move on. First of all, let's go for the stranger. What I'm sharing over here is a commentary of Ramban. Nachmanides, he lived in Spain, mid-1200s. He actually had to leave Spain because he won a discussion with a Christian. He won the discussion in front of a king and had to leave Spain. He did so. Okay. So, what's the stranger? Who's the strangers? Who's this stranger? Ramban says, it's always the stranger. When the Torah talks about a stranger, ger, that's the word in Hebrew, it's always a ger toisha. It means a person who came to dwell in the gates of all our cities and has taken upon himself the seven laws of Noahites. That's what the Ramban says. This is the text of the Ramban. Now, what does that mean, a ger toishav? Again, a person who is not a Jew, he accepted the laws. I'm going to keep these laws. We can discuss in a different class all the different names that the Torah and the sages use to talk about the non-Jews. One of them is a ger toishav. It's just one name. You can say about goy, ger toishav, ger, or ben noyach. Okay. Different names that have to be explained, each one, which is not the purpose of this class. But the Ramban says, over here in the Ten Commandments, the stranger is a ger toishav, is not a Jew. But he's a religious non-Jew. I'm just being funny. Whatever, religious non-Jew, he accepted the seven laws. How do you know that? Maybe he's a Jew. Maybe he's a non-Jew, just a regular non-Jew, because the Torah says in a different place, you shall not, this is what the Ramban says, you shall not eat anything that has died a natural death. You, that means you shall not eat, is talking about the Jew. Give it to the stranger. The same word, ger. Give it to the stranger in your community to eat. Oh, wait a second. See, a Jew is obligated to eat kosher, whatever that means. It's obligated to eat special type of food. So if we're going to call the stranger a Jew, so how can you give him to eat something that is not kosher? It doesn't make any sense. So Ramban says, okay, stranger in the Ten Commandments is directly ger ho, your stranger is directly related to the stranger that is not a Jew, and apparently, let's go back a second, he's obligated to keep Shabbos. You see, the seventh day is Shabbos, you shall not work, you, your son, ta-ra-ta-ta, and the stranger. Ah, wait a second. So non-Jew, this is what we establish, a stranger is a non-Jew, can keep Shabbos. Has to keep Shabbos, the Ten Commandments. Wait a second. It doesn't finish over there. Ramban explains, the same commentary in the same place, that the commandment of Shabbos was not directed to him, to the non-Jew, to the stranger. And the Torah is not saying, do not do any work. No, sir. No, sir. It is saying, it is we, the Jews, who are commanded that he do not do work for our benefit. In other words, a Jew is forbidden to ask a non-Jew to do a work from the forbidden works, which we still, in a second we will know, still don't know what it is exactly, but this stranger, I cannot ask him to do something for me in Shabbos. And it's brought down in the Gemara in Shabbos, in the Talmud, in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Code of Jewish Law. Why not? Because if you can ask a non-Jew to do something for you in Shabbos that you're not allowed to do, so Shabbos ends up being Shabbos. Turn on the TV, turn off the TV, cook this for me, do this for my... That's it, Shabbos is gone. That's what our sages explain. So you cannot, it's a prohibition for the Jews to ask a non-Jew to do something for you that you're not allowed to do in Shabbos. That's what the stranger in the Ten Commandments is talking about. This is what the Ramban says. So again, going back to the verse, when the Torah says the stranger, quote unquote, cannot do work. No, that's not what he's saying. You, Jew, cannot ask a stranger to do work for you in Shabbos. That's what the verse is saying. And then he brings completely a different way of looking at it. No. The stranger in the Ten Commandments is the same Ramban, it's the same commentary. Stranger in the Ten Commandments is talking actually about a Jew. He's a proselyte, he's a convert. He converted to Judaism. And he has to keep Shabbos, just as a Jew. That's why the verse talks about all of them together. You, your son, ta-da-ta-ta, and the stranger. And what is the idea of the other stranger, so to speak? The other stranger continues being a non-Jew. You cannot give him the food to eat because it's kosher food. It's a non-Jew, you can give it. I said the other way around. You can give it food, not to eat, because in that context, a stranger means something else. And this is a very common thing in Torah, and to be honest, in life. Same word, same expression in different context means something else. Be careful. You have to understand what the context is. So you look around the verses, and this is one of the ways of understanding the Torah, of understanding Torah. Davar alam minyon noi. Something that is learned out of the context. What is he talking about? Look at the context, and it's going to give you the answer of what he talks about. What he talks about. Okay, having said that, now we understand who the stranger is. According to the Ramban, either he's a Jew, a regular Jew, and therefore he cannot transgress Shabbos, or he's talking about a regular non-Jew. Ger Toishav, I'm not going to explain again. Whatever, let's call him a non-Jew. And hey, the non-Jew cannot keep Shabbos? No, no, no. We cannot ask a non-Jew to do something for us in Shabbos. Okay. What is the work? Now we understood who is the stranger. What is the work all about? And the explanation is very simple. Our sages explain, this is in Parshas, this source, Shmois, Parshas Vayakel, the beginning of Parshas Vayakel. Torah explains what are the works we cannot actually not do in Shabbos. Because the Torah doesn't say it. It's just mentioned one, not to kindle fire in Shabbos. That's the only thing mentioned, actually. Some authorities in the Talmud itself say you cannot carry things in the street, in the public domain, whatever that means, in Jewish law. But the rest of the works, which are actually 39, how do you learn those? And the Torah explains, when the Torah says, on 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day, you will not do work and so on. It's Shabbos. What kind of work is he talking about? Parshas Vayakel is one of the parshas of the Torah that explains the work done by the Jews in the building of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle. Therefore, since the Torah is talking about building the tabernacle, and then he says, but in the seventh day, don't do this. What is it that we cannot do in the seventh day? All the works of the tabernacle. Otherwise, again, context. Otherwise, why is it that when you're talking about building the tabernacle, you're telling me not to do in Shabbos? Because those are specifically the things you cannot do in Shabbos. Like the Talmud says, Rabbi Hanina Bar Chama, he said, they correspond to the labors of the tabernacle. Rabbi Yonasan, whatever. He says to Rabbi Shimon, son of Rabbi Yosef, okay, I'm not going to read the whole thing. They correspond to instances of word labor, his labor, the labor of. Okay, you can read by yourself. The point is that our sages learn from these verses of labor, work, and so on, 39 different types of categories of works a Jew cannot do in Shabbos. So again, going back to the Ten Commandments, in one place, the Torah just uses the word work, melacha, or the word stranger, and in different places, the Torah explains what these words actually mean. In the case of work, 39 specific things. In the case of stranger, like the Ramban said, it's a non-Jew. It's a non-Jew. Okay. Moving on, I'm jumping back and forth in the Torah. This is actually Parshas Kisisa, Kitisa. The whole parsha, the whole section in the Torah, where the Torah talks about the golden calf, the story of the golden calf. There, the Torah is very clear about what's Shabbos for a Jew. Speak to the children of Israel, says the Torah, says God to Moshe. Nevertheless, you must keep my Shabbos. You, in this case, means the children of Israel. You guys have to keep Shabbos. This is a sign between me and you throughout the ages. So there's a covenant. Pay attention. In the case of Noach, what was the covenant? God promised, I'm not going to destroy the whole earth again. In the case of the Jew, there's a different type of covenant. There's another type of covenant regarding other commandments. That's true. I'm not talking about that because it's not the subject today. But there's a covenant about Shabbos specifically. It's a sign between the Jews and the non-Jew. The Jews and God. Whatever. That's what Shabbos is. And like it or not, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't include non-Jews. It's not talking about non-Jews. No relationship with non-Jews in this whole thing of Shabbos. And the Torah is pretty clear. Like, it's a complete day of rest and whatever. The work we cannot do. We explain 39 things, and that's a covenant for all time. That means it's never going to change. It's never going to be added, taken from, and so on. This is what the covenant is. So we see, with humanity, I'm not going to destroy you altogether, all flesh, again. With the Jews, there's a specific covenant regarding Shabbos and regarding other mitzvahs also. Okay. Having said all of this, comes out, before all this text that I just present over here, comes out that there's no place in the Torah that talks about a non-Jew keeping, observing Shabbos. There's no such a thing. And it doesn't make any sense. On the contrary, it's a covenant between God and the Jews, excluding the non-Jews. Now, having said all of that, there's a very interesting commentary of the Kli Yakar. I invite you to read the whole thing. It's pretty long. So I did not copy the whole thing. And we're not going to read the whole thing because you can do it by yourself, I assume. That he has a very interesting novel idea, completely out of the box, like people used to say, as people say today. Completely out of the box. We see in two places in the Torah that the Ten Commandments are given. The first one is Parshas Yisro, Yitro. Second one is Parshas Vayetchanan, Vayetchanan. First one is God, so to speak, saying the Ten Commandments. The second one is Moshe Rabbeinu repeating the Ten Commandments. And there are certain subtle differences between the two versions of the Ten Commandments. And the commentators go up and want to explain why this way in this Parsha, why the other word in the other Parsha, and so on. All kinds of interesting, beautiful explanations. The Kli Yakar, who lived in Prague, 1600s, he brings his own very interesting explanation. Our sages say that before the giving of the Torah, God shared, actually, the Torah with whole humanity, with every single nation, so to speak, in the world. 70 nations, whatever that means. And they rejected the Torah. One nation rejected because the Torah says, don't murder. And, we live murdering people, so we don't want this Torah. Another nation rejected it because, don't steal. Hey, we live stealing, so forget it. It's not for us. Another nation because they like forbidden relationships. Hey, we live on forbidden relationships, so that's not for us. And the Jews said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do, we will learn, understand, hear, whatever way you want to translate it. So the Kli Yakar, which is the name of the commentary of this rabbi, Ephraim Alunchitz, that was his name, he brings that the first version of the Ten Commandments was actually the text given for the non-Jews to keep. This is what God offered, actually, the non-Jews. Go do this. And the non-Jews looked at this and said, nah, not for me, not for us, as we explained before. And they rejected it. And the second version of the Ten Commandments is what God gave the Jews, which, if you actually pay attention, again, I invite you to read the whole commentary. I'm not going to read, not even what is in the screen. You can read it yourself. But in the second version, it's actually more strict. Pretty much more strict. I'm just going to bring one point of his commentary, which I think is very interesting, regarding Shabbos specifically. In the first version of the Ten Commandments, it's written, remember the day of Shabbos. Zachar Yisim HaShabbos. Remember the day of Shabbos. Okay. In the second version, it says, Shomer Yisim HaShabbos. You should guard the day of Shabbos. So Rebbe Ephraim Alunchitz, the Kli Yakar, this is the name of the commentary, explains that God did not want to say the non-Jews guard the day of Shabbos. It's too hard, too difficult. Of course they would have said no. You're nuts. And if you really sit down, and I also invite you to do that, learn the Rambam, Maimonides. A non-Jew can learn Maimonides, definitely. Mishneh Torah, laws of Shabbos, go learn. You will see many, many, like 20-something chapters, some chapters with 30-something laws, really complex. You can see, no problem. Hey, the non-Jews cannot learn Torah. Yeah, I know that, don't worry. It's in the same place that it says you cannot keep Shabbos. I know that. However, There are things of Torah you can learn. Oh, yes. I would say there's more that you can learn than that which you cannot learn. But it's a different discussion. The point is, Rambam, you can learn. You can do that. And if you don't believe me, don't worry, don't believe me. The divine code says that. Rabbi Weiner knows much better than me. So he allows you to learn Rambam. So go learn Rambam. And you will see, keeping Shabbos is not so easy. Mm-mm, not at all. So the non-Jews would have said, get out of here, God. This is not for us. So God said, remember the day of Shabbos. It's easier. What does it mean to remember the day of Shabbos? Very interesting. The commentary himself mentions this. Look, every single human being has an obligation to believe in God. That's what he says. And actually, the Rebbe also says that. The Rebbe actually brings the idea that it's a derivative, comes out, this belief in God, comes out of the negation of idolatry. And the Kli Yakar also says the same thing. The negation of idolatry. Okay, so you have to believe in God. One of the details, not the only one, not the only thing, but one of the details of believing in God is that the world is a created thing. That means it's not eternal. The world is not eternal. God is eternal, and the world is not. It was created a number of years ago. Okay, we can discuss how many, but it doesn't really matter. A number of years ago, it was created. It's a creation. So the Kli Yakar brings, God told the non-Jews, hey, you have to remember the day of Shabbos. What does that mean? Not to do something in Shabbos. Like, let's light candles and let's do kiddush, sanctify the day because it says remember. No. After all, and the Kli Yakar himself brings this, the non-Jews rejected this. That's it. Over, so to speak, for this particular Ten Commandments. And then what stands is the second version, so to speak, what Moshe Rabbeinu said, of course, combined with the first version, because after all, we do things, in a very specific way. Okay, that's a different story. But the point is, for the non-Jews, what remains out of this thing of Shabbos? You have to know that there's a God, and you have to know that the world is a new thing, because God created the world in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested, and so on. So, as I'm going to mention later, if a non-Jew wants to sit in his house, her house, whatever, and remember the day of Shabbos, I don't see any problem. I personally don't see any problem. Because that's part of understanding that there's a God and that there's a world that was actually created and so on. That's part of the Judaism thought, so to speak. But this is a very novel, interesting way of understanding why two verses of the Ten Commandments and one... what we can actually learn out of is remember the day of Shabbos. Now, in a practical sense, that I already mentioned some ideas of this, let's look at the Rambam, Maimonides. Why the Rambam? Because he's the only one, actually, that codified the entire law, Jewish law. Not always we follow the opinion of the Rambam. This needs to be said. But in certain areas of Torah, where no other codifier, no other halachic law authority of the Jews codified anything and said anything, the Rambam actually talks about it. So that's why we follow him in many, many things. Within those things are the laws of the non-Jews. What's the message of Judaism for non-Jews? So the Rambam says, a Gentile who studies Torah is liable for spiritual, I added this word, but the commentaries of the Rambam all agree to this, death penalty. They should not only be involved in the study of their seven mitzvahs. And I would add, based on the Sefer HaChinuch, the book of education, mitzvah 416, he brings derivatives, all the things that come together with these seven laws. Similarly, a Gentile, says the Rambam, who rests. I'm going to read this because it's a very interesting text. Even on a weekday, observing that day as a Shabbos is liable for spiritual death penalty. Needless to say, he is obligated for that punishment if he creates a festival for himself. That means, I would suppose, whatever, I'm just inventing, making up, Wednesday. Or today is Sunday. Sunday? That's going to be a holy day for me. What does it mean, a holy day? A godly day of resting. That's not allowed, according to Jewish law. again, you want to sleep because you're tired or because you're not tired or you're bored, whatever, do it, enjoy life, no problem. But a godly, religious, spiritual day, no. And I mean spiritual related to God directly. No, that's not allowed according to Judaism. All the authorities agree to this. Parenthesis. I didn't write anything because I thought it would be better just to explain. I put the word over here, a Gentile. What does the Rambam say? Okay, this touches a little bit on a whole class that has to be given. I agree. So I'm not going to give the whole class because it takes a whole hour. But it's very important to understand that, and probably I'm going to repeat this in other classes, very important to understand that the Jewish texts went through censorship. And when the censors found things that they didn't like, they forced the text, they changed the text to appear the way they like it. So the original text is Gentile. Gentile means a non-Jew, that's it. A non-Jew includes all the non-Jews. But the Christian censorship was so against this that they forced to put Akum in Hebrew. Akum means Oivet Kehavim Mazalis, an idolater. So we cannot, and this is a big mistake, like learning mistake, you cannot base yourself on these type of words, on other words, yes, but in these type of words to create a whole building of understanding what the law is for non-Jews. Because it says Akum, it says idolater. So an idolater cannot rest, but a regular Ben Noach, which is not an idolater, could rest. I'm sorry, you're wrong. Your logic is wrong. You're basing yourself in a word put there by the Christians. That's not what the Rambam said. And the same thing happens in the Talmud. But again, this needs a whole explanation. So I'm going to close parenthesis over here. Let's just keep Gentile over here. The general principle, says the Rambam, they are not to be allowed to originate a new religion, which in itself is something that the Rambam mentions and it doesn't appear in some other places, which is a whole discussion in itself. What's a new religion? Or create mitzvahs for themselves. God commanded me to rest on Wednesday. Really? Where does it say so? No, I don't know, whatever. I'm prophet and God commanded me. Forget it. You're making a mitzvah by yourself and you're making a new religion that doesn't appear in Judaism at all. Based on their own decisions. They may either become righteous converts, so you like Torah, convert, what's the problem, or and accept everything, or retain your status, but don't add and don't detract, so to speak, from the mitzvahs themselves. Okay, just to finish, Shabbos, as a conclusion, Shabbos was given to the Jews. It's a covenant that God made with the Jews regarding that particular thing of Shabbos. Non-Jews can remember Shabbos? Yes. It is not an obligation. You're not obligated to do anything. Don't worry. But if you're going to do something, I advise, talk to a rabbi. Talk to a rabbi. Because the rabbi is going to guide you what would be appropriate for you, for your specific, I don't even mean a non-Jew. I mean in general, what's appropriate for your particular life. And what is not appropriate. So talk to a rabbi. You want to do something? Talk to a rabbi. But in my humble opinion, if you're going to do whatever you're going to do, you better do it properly. What do I mean properly? The Jewish way. I don't mean, of course, I believe the Jews are correct. And all other religions are not correct. Of course I believe on that. That's why I look the way I look. And I talk the way I talk. But what I mean is, don't do invented observances. I'll give one example. And I'm not saying anyone has to do this. Please do not misunderstand. If you want to light candles on Shabbos, oh, what a beautiful thing. A person lighting candles, bringing light to the world. You want to do it? Okay. Jews, before Shabbos, light candles before dawn. That's the way you do it. Why? Okay. Whatever, go ask a rabbi, as I mentioned before. But don't say, I'm going to light candles at night. So I don't look like a Jew, I'm a non-Jew, so I light candles at night. Wait a second. You're making up something that is not found anywhere. I mean, you like candles, you like candles, you enjoy candles, but light candles every day, every night. Put everywhere around the house candles. There's no problem with that. But you want to light candles Friday because of Shabbos? Oh, wait a second. Talk to a rabbi, and he's going to teach you whether you have to do it or not, you can do it or not, and how to do it. Do it the proper way. Do it the way the Jews do it. Because otherwise you're making a new religion. What are you doing? No Jew at all. I mean, religious Jew. Non-religious Jew, you can find whatever they do, whatever kinds of things. All kinds of things. But religious Jew, do not light Shabbos candles at night. There's no such a thing. It's forbidden. Actually, we mentioned, where is it? Where is it? Don't light the fire. Don't light the fire in over here. You shall not kindle no fire, whatever. You shall kindle no fire throughout the settlement of Shabbos. It's forbidden. Parshas Vayakel. It's a clear verse. So if you're going to do it, better do it properly. But I talked to a rabbi before. Now, correct, what's completely correct, acknowledge that there's a God, that the world is not eternal, it was created and so on. And certainly a non-Jew cannot guard Shabbos. That's the second version of the Ten Commandments. And what does it mean to guard Shabbat? The 39 works and so on. You want to know what they are? Go learn Rambam. Laws of Shabbos. Sefer Zmanim in the Book of Times or whatever you call it. It's the laws of Shabbos. You can see what it means. There's no problem seeing what it means. This is my humble opinion. As I mentioned before, my objective was to present the sources. But of course, by me presenting the sources is the way I understand the sources. Not more than that. So this is my humble opinion.